Hello, and welcome to The Happiest of Hours, presented by Mox & Cox. This podcast is part of our journey to share experiences in the world where drinkers, alcohol-free folks, and the sober curious can coexist. We started our mission to create a space where everyone gets to have the same experience, regardless of what's in their glass, to show people it's okay to go out into the world, to the same events, and have the same great time.
We know how that looks different for everyone. Everyone is different. We just want to stop making it weird.
I'm Katie.
I'm Bridget.
And we're Mox & Cox. Bridget.
Hi, Katie.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. How are you?
I'm great. It's great. It's a great day. I don't care about Valentine's Day.
It's a great day to have a great day.
It is. I'm wearing the only piece of holiday clothing I really own, except for the llama sweater. I have a heart on my sweater, and I purposely put it on today,
which is
very unlike me.
We've been over this. You've actually been far more festive this year than ever before.
Truth.
But also, I do think it's apropos. Quite appropriate of you to have your heart.
Did you know that Bridget was a Rhodes Scholar? If you didn't, you do now.
As I was saying, I think it's super appropriate that you have a heart on your shirt.
At all.
No, I wasn't going that far.
Do you think maybe the heart should be down here?
It should be closer to the sleeve. Yeah. I've never once, not ever, have to wonder what you're thinking about anything.
I'm sorry.
It's weirder though when you're like, no, I'm good. I'm fine. I don't know why you think.
When I just like blatantly lie about it because no.
I don't know why you think that I've got a problem right now.
I think I'm going to try and find a sweatshirt with a heart on the sleeve.
I'm going to have one made.
See if anybody gets it.
Anybody else?
Anybody else gets it.
Anybody else?
Anyway.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Welcome to Mox & Cox, the happiest of hours. And clearly it is the happiest of hours.
I'm pretty happy to be here.
It is the happiest of hours, which is sort of a play on phrases.
Mm-hmm.
We are a...
No. Go ahead.
If you listen to the last episode, we had like a 42-minute intro. We are a brand.
We are.
I always ask that as a question. Bridget finishes is like, yeah, we are.
She puts a question mark on the end of things without an actual question mark. Her voice just goes up at the end. Like, is it?
Are we?
Are we? Do you?
Yeah, we're a company.
We are.
We're a legit company.
I thought about that a lot today, actually, for some reason. I was like, you know what? We actually do own a business.
We do.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's pretty neat. This is a
legit business.
It's a legit. Yeah, we are a legit.
Our attorney was like, is this spam?
Are you
when
sure?
When I sent him the Mox & Cox LLC. Shockingly, it wasn't taken.
That's weird, I thought. It was weird that every single handle we wanted, yeah, all of our emails. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problems. I think it's a great business. I'm having so much fun. But our purpose is to just make everything a little less weird for everybody. And actually, it's going to, our intro should segue easily into what we're talking about today. And I do love a good segue. Our whole goal in the world is to make everybody, our mission is pretty simple. We want to make sure that everybody has the same experience at every event, every establishment, every bar, restaurant, party, tailgate. We want to make sure that everybody has the same experience, regardless of what's in their glass. We have drinkers, non-drinkers. Katie doesn't drink anymore. I am still actively involved, arguably less active than I had been in the past, coming off Dry January, but I'm still actively involved in the drinking world. Katie is not, but we still go to all the same places and have all the same experiences, and we want to prove to everybody else in the world that you can too.
You can too, and that is a great segue. Good job. Bridget is like the champion of segues. I told her that when we get real big, I'm going to get her a segue.
when we get real big.
Yeah. I'm going to get her a big red bow on a segue. It's Valentine's Day, and we've actually had this request a couple of times.
We have.
From people
to us personally and kind of as a group effort what it's like to date when you are either newly sober mm-hmm. or you don't drink mm-hmm. or you're not drinking for a time being mm-hmm. or you're whatever, like the day, the week, the month, the year, forever. I am married and have been for, I think it'll be 18 years this year. No, 17. 17 years this year. And so I haven't dated in a real long time. So we're going to sort of fly by the seat of our pants on this one. But we've got some good advice. Mm-hmm. And part of what I think is going to help people is finding places that you can just go and order off the menu.
Right.
Order the same thing. Or if you're not going to go out to dinner or you're not going to drink on your first outing, that's always a possibility. Like, dating doesn't mean drinking.
I mean, quite literally, dating doesn't equal drinking. Like, those are not mutually exclusive.
Right.
Dating doesn't require it. I know that a lot of first dates are often that, but a first date can also be coffee.
Yeah.
It can be casual. A first date can also be an activity.
It could be a walk. Ice cream.
I mean, I like going for walks.
I do too.
It could be to go get ice cream. That sounds adorable. A first date to get ice cream sounds adorable. Unless, you know, you're lactose intolerant.
If you like pina coladas.
I mean, getting caught in the rain.
There's virgin pina coladas.
Totally. Fine. But I think that's one of the things that we work really hard to highlight, especially in our Tails Up Tuesdays, are establishments that really go out of their way to make their menus inclusive of that choice, whether you are drinking alcohol or not.
Right.
And preferably we would like them to be on the same menu and have your drinks come in the same glass so that you can make that experience just a little less weird.
Yeah.
Honest to God, just stop making it weird. That would change the whole game for everybody. But we do fully understand that this is a thing that has to be navigated for some people. Not for you, not for me, but a lot of people are drinking less these days. There are significant more young people who don't drink at all. And while they're trying to navigate first dates, they're trying to decide, well, when do I tell them? In fact, we have a mutual friend that just started dating somebody new recently. And they had said that they were going to do Dry January. And so they didn't know what to order when, you know, dating this new person came up. And then as it turns out, they like scrapped it and they're like, I'm not doing it.
Dry January at all.
Because of that. And then they followed it up with, it's okay, he's going to do dry February instead.
So he's not going to date in February?
And as it turns out, that got scrapped too. But like that, like to have that sort of thing come up, because what did you say? We talk about this a lot, but you had mentioned that alcohol on dates is like a social lubricant or something like that. And I think for new people, it takes some of that anxiety out of it, right?
Yeah. One of the conversations I had recently with somebody was from Bumblebee or wherever. Like,
we don't know the program names.
We're not involved in those programs. I don't know what the names are. Tinder, Winder, Finder, Fender. Well, and I don't know what they all mean, right?
Sidewinder. Like, it's a weird pitch. Is it about pitching? Is it baseball?
I don't really know what they all mean, too. Like, some of them mean different things, right? Like, Tinder is a hookup, but Bumblebee is a different thing.
Yeah. Did we talk about this?
Not on here. Oh. Not on here. Anyway, it came from one of the online places. And I think he reached out to her and was like, hey, can we get a drink? And she had recently quit drinking and it's been a while and it was a lifestyle choice. And she was like, I'm done drinking for a while and I'm going through some stuff, but I want to try to date. And arguably she was sort of freaking out. Like, I don't know what to say when we get there. Like, I don't want to drink. Right. So you sort of have to own it.
Well, right.
And then when you get there, right. And then when it's not just about like not drinking, right? Because there's still all this like connotation that goes along with it, right? Like all of this, like if somebody says I don't drink, mm-hmm. then I'm like, what does that mean? What does it mean?
Did they have a problem?
Did they get arrested?
Yeah.
Like, do they have a DUI? Yep. Do that, right? Like, it's all this stuff that really When like, it's all the stories that people make up, right? But it could just be that they're like trying to make a healthy lifestyle change.
Right.
In this case, that's what her deal was. Like, yeah. She was trying.
And we actually know quite a few people that have just
so many
done that.
So many.
Like, not with a problem per yeah. se, just went, this mm-hmm. isn't for me anymore. Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm going to navigate this a little bit. I'm going to see mm-hmm. what it's like. Mm-hmm. I'm sober curious.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to see what
there's
it's like.
There's a reason there's a phrase for it.
There's a reason. There's a full on hashtag. And I do think I agree with you that the younger generation might be easier to navigate this because I think it's becoming more acceptable.
Accepted. Yeah.
Whereas like our generation or like if you're going through a divorce or something yeah. like that, we've been like, we met in bars. We
right.
met,
right?
You know, like this was 100%. Before. This was before all the online dating yes. and that sort of thing.
Yes, but I think there is still for young people that same question.
Oh God,
we've
yes.
had it from people in their early 20s,
especially
too.
In this area.
Yeah, yes, right. And that could be part of it.
Right,
it could be
a culture.
It could
thing.
Be a culture thing yeah. too.
So she was a little bit nervous. Mm-hmm. I mean, this all did not work out, right? Like they never met, but the question did come up. Like I don't want to drink, mm-hmm. but I'm nervous. Like I'm going to turn her or turn him off mm-hmm. the very first time I go and sit at a bar and order a club soda.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm super nervous about that. Like, do I get there early and order a beer so they think I'm drinking a beer? Right?
Yeah.
Like there's so much around that. So
that's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, we did.
That's heavy though.
Talk about it. And one of my suggestions was if you want to go and have a non-alcoholic beer, find a place. Like I've got lots of places for mm-hmm. you. Let's find a place and you get there early and you order an athletic at the bar
mm-hmm.
and you sit there with the beer. And then it sort of opens up the door for her to or him to order whatever he wants and then see where you're at. The other thing is he might not drink.
Right.
Like he might be having the same deal.
Right.
And I don't know if that's like a checkbox on.
I don't know because thing. I think that brings up a question on the flip of that, right?
It does bring up a question. Like now do you stick yourself in a box of I'm a non-drinker, so now
I don't ever.
Well, and I don't want to date a drinker
right.
or I don't want to date a non-drinker. I mean, does it sort of alienate you from a certain population
yeah.
because of that?
Yeah. In particular, we've had this conversation before because we knew somebody who had not gotten the date because they found out that he no longer drank.
Yeah.
Period. And because they found out he no longer drank, the girl was like, I don't want to date you. You don't drink. And I thought, man.
Did the girl know the reason? Or, I mean,
no.
the reason doesn't really matter.
No, I don't
but
think she did. It was funny because I was friends with both of them. So it's very funny to me. Like, that's a funny thing to have, to know both sides of that.
Mm-hmm.
To have, you know, her come up and be like, yeah, that guy, he like matched with me and then I found out he didn't drink. So I didn't want to go. So I swiped and was like, no, thank you anymore. And I was like, oh, huh.
Whoa.
But which kind of, it was too bad because like, he's a really cool guy and you're just like that kind of sucks. But came up after we said that there's a flip side to that. You know, if we're talking about people going out on dates with, you know, one drinker and one non-drinker, blah, blah, blah. You know, aren't you considering the other half of that? The, you know, maybe I don't want to go out with somebody if I find out that they're a raging alcoholic or that they drink super heavily. And I thought that was an interesting comment to kind of address because that never occurred to me. And I think that there's a very real reason why that never occurred to us, that there wasn't necessarily an equal opposite to that.
Oh, there just isn't.
Right.
I mean, there just isn't an equal opposite. I think drinkers that date non-drinkers mm-hmm. are not triggered by the non-drinking.
Right.
Whereas the non-drinker could be triggered by the drinker. So
actually, apples and oranges, though. And
yeah,
they're really not comparable.
I would agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, they're just not. We did find an article about dating.
Okay.
And sober dating.
Yay.
And there's some really great tips in here.
Let's hear them.
So the first one is own your choice, which we sort of talked about a little bit.
Yeah.
Which part of this is really hard too, because you definitely want to go into these things knowing that you don't want to drink and why, like your reasons why, right? Like really be really solid in why you're not drinking.
Yeah. Be confident in you.
Right. Like it's okay to do that. And it's okay to wait until you're confident enough to start dating.
That part is hard, right? That takes a little bit of time.
I think it's hard enough anyway. Like even if you have the drinks,
right?
I think it's hard enough anyway. I don't know this from experience because I haven't dated in a while, but.
No, but you know how long it takes to be confident in your sobriety.
I do know that. And it takes a while.
That part is significant to this.
Yeah. And if you're still kind of waffling, like, I don't know. And I'm like really nervous to go out and I don't know if I want to say anything or like how much I need to explain. And I mean, I went through that with my best friends and husband and mom and dad and brother and sister. Those are the closest people in my life. And I like, and then to try and go out and do it with a stranger, that's superhero status. So good job. but you sort of have to own where you're at. Because you're probably going to get a question or questions or whatever. So that was the first thing is it's up to you. This says it's up to you to be your own social lubricant.
Oh, a brave new world.
I mean, that's kind of a heavy lift.
To be your own. I mean, you got to be really confident in you to be your own social lubricant.
Okay, well, I'll just go through these quick. So own your choice. Have a go-to drink ready to order.
I think that one's huge. I really do.
I think it really solves a lot of problems, actually.
I think it solves a ton of problems. And I think that's kind of been really a strong part of our mission is to make sure that we can highlight places to go where you do that. But even for me, and I don't have nearly as much experience in this as you do, and I obviously am not trying to date either, but I did have to go to events where I wasn't drinking and I had to make a plan. And it's okay that it takes a little extra time and planning to make sure that you're going to stay on your track.
Yeah.
And so do that. But I do think that it is absolutely worthwhile to have that plan going in, to know exactly what your left and right is and what options exist for you. Pick a place that you are comfortable in to begin with.
Yeah. Don't you get to pick the place then.
Yeah.
I mean, if this is an issue, if you're concerned about this,
then take the initiative.
Yeah.
Be that guy, be that girl who is going to be like, hey, I found a spot for us.
Yeah. I found Mint Mark I found State Line Distillery and it's a cool vibe and they've got a bunch of non-alcoholic stuff.
Yes.
And a lot of these places now have the like digital menus that you're looking together or like on separate phones.
Yep.
So you're like, oh, cool. Yeah. I'm just going to have this.
Yeah. And go into a bar taco and you order yourself on like no problem.
Nobody would even know.
Don't even have to split a check. Like,
I know.
it's brilliant for first dates.
Yeah.
It really is for everybody over the age of 30, but it's wonderful for all those new people.
It's those new people to adulthood.
All the youths.
The youths.
It's all good for the youths.
Probably of all the things, like preparedness.
Yeah.
Just
readiness,
find a place, find the drink that you want. Mm-hmm. Like know that if they don't have anything, here's the other thing is not everybody has the confidence to go up to the bar and say, do you have any non-alcoholic beer?
It is actually though my new favorite thing to do.
Yes, and but we're real confident in
totally,
it.
Totally. But I do.
And we love the answer.
Yes. But I do it places anyway. Even I do it everywhere now. Like I want to know what your non-alcoholic options are.
Yeah. Even if you're not going to get one.
Even if I'm not going to get one because I want to know.
Yeah. So we were talking, I was talking to somebody about this the other day they were at a conference and they went up to the bar and said, do you have any non-alcoholic beer? Mm-hmm. And the other person they were with does not drink.
Okay.
And just like gets a Coke or water or whatever, wherever they go. And this was an older person. So like of the generation of O'Douls and Sharps. Mm. Poor thing. has not really gotten in the habit of asking if they have anything because mostly for years or decades, they never have. So she was confident enough to go up and ask it. And she was like, and I asked really loud so everybody around me could hear that they didn't have anything. And also she was like, I wanted to ask loud enough that if somebody else wanted a non-alcoholic thing, they could hear me. Mm-hmm. I was like, God, I love you. I mean, I love that. It's like we have little soldiers out there. It's amazing.
Totally.
But so they were, you know, they ended up being stuck with, you know, club soda in a can or a Pepsi glass and, you know, white milk, I guess.
Non-alcoholic white Russian.
Non-alcoholic white Russian.
It's a lot of heavy cream. It's
so funny.
Goo.
Anyway, finding a place, which we've got lots of places for you if you're in the Madison area.
This and is we're what more we're than doing. Happy to figure it out if you're not.
Right. We could like come to your date and ask for you first.
We're happy to come on your date. We are great third and fourth wheels.
Actually, arguably, we're just a third wheel.
We count as one, and we would be a hilarious third wheel. We're available.
And we'll also make sure that you get the most non-alcoholic amazing drinks.
Totally. Ever. And we're super available if it's warm where you are. No, but I did that. I mean, I did just do that up. I had a business trip in northern Wisconsin. And without fail, because one of my friends was with me, they said, well, are you gonna Mox and Cox while you're here? And I was like, yes.
Yes, I am.
But it was not necessarily a place where most people probably felt comfortable to do that.
No.
I lived
there.
And so when I said, okay, what do you have for non-alcoholic? You know, do you have mocktails? And he said, I don't, but I can make you anything you want. And he said, and I actually just made myself one. And this bartender who was there had actually come from California last year.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, he
gets it.
Yeah, he gets it. Because while we don't necessarily have that prevalent culture for mocktails and NA stuff in the Midwest or in Wisconsin,
yet
there are a lot of places on the coast that do.
Yeah.
And so it was really, really cool. And he made me one of the best mocktails ever.
That's so awesome.
And it was so fun. And I loved every bit of it. But I was really proud of myself for being like, yeah, let's find out.
Yeah.
At this place that I've never been with these people that I don't know.
Right.
And see what they got.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I ask everywhere I go anyway, even if I don't want it. I mean, I just want to know.
Right. And I do that mostly, like I do it mostly around, like, I think it was the being away and on like a business trip that I was like, it didn't even occur to me. And then
here's a thought. If you are still drinking and you're sober curious, and you're like playing around with maybe taking some breaks or whatever, try on a night that you are drinking to ask for the non-alcoholic stuff. Just ask, but then you can still have a beer or, you know, a glass of wine or whatever. It might be easy to do that while you're drinking. And then the next time when you don't want to drink, you've already done it. Because I think it's like the fear is, well, I think really the fear can be real that bartenders can be assholes and be like, ugh, I don't have anything.
Well, stereotypes don't come from nowhere.
Right. I know. I don't feel like generalizing because there's lots of really cool, awesome bartenders out there that are really trying. There's so many,
but we've had plenty of experiences in our lives where that can happen. And if you're already a little nervous.
And then you think it might happen.
And then you think it might happen, then that's even scarier.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to build that confidence up when you're nervous.
Right. But if you do want us to come with you, we will.
We will. We're totally into that. Whatever you want.
The next thing on this list is don't go to a bar in the first place.
Well, right. And I think we kind of started off with that. Like if you are that concerned about that, ask for coffee. Coffee is a totally lovely first date.
Yeah.
I mean, we drink a lot of coffee, so we're big proponents anyway. But there are such cute coffee shops. And what an easy place to have a conversation and get to know each other, and usually in a pretty cool vibe.
If I was newly sober and somebody said this to me, like, don't go to a bar in the first place, I would be like, fuck you. Actually, I can go to a bar. But also, I just like, I don't want to have to do something different.
But what if your confidence isn't there yet?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't. I just. I have a hard. I mean, it's sort of like somebody saying, I think this is my black and white thinking coming out, showing its ugly face.
Because you're telling me that it's one or the other. If I'm not confident enough to go into a bar, then I'm not allowed to have a first date.
Okay, fine. I stand corrected.
I love the black and white of that.
I know.
Like in general, I love that you can do that. But it's so funny to me that you.
So pretty.
Yes.
I do love gray.
Because that's like, look at all of the magic that can happen in there. Like, because you very well may not be ready for this.
Yes. I would say, though, that the coffee shop can be scary. If you've gone to bars your entire life, a coffee shop for a first date could be scary. That's all I'm saying. A coffee shop would have been scary for me to go in and like, because I don't know if I'd know what to do in a coffee shop. I mean, obviously I drink coffee, but like.
And you own a coffee shop.
I do. And I love coffee. It's just not where I would have thought to.
Which I think is super funny. Because
it's just like that would have been like also that's trying something new for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's.
Do you think that all first dates are in a bar?
No.
Oh. So then.
They were for me. I mean, they were. I met my husband in a bar. All my first dates were in a bar. All of my dates. We're in a bar. I mean, we didn't go for coffee. We went drinking. So like it would have been trying something new and in a new environment to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also scary to try something new like that. I don't, my argument is not coming across like I want it to, because you just keep looking at me like this makes no sense. I know, like coffee shops shouldn't be scary, but it would have been for me. That's all I'm saying.
Like all I'm thinking is like there's been nothing as terrifying as having to go to an ice cream shop. Yeah, it probably is scary if it's all you know. Yeah. Anything outside of what you know, anything outside of your norm has the possibility of scaring you.
My advice on all of what I just said, the don't go to the bar in the first place.
Yeah.
Is scary to me. It would have been scary to me.
To go down that path.
Yeah. To like, hey, let's go
that part out.
To like, hey,
let's go to a coffee shop.
To go to a coffee shop. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, let's go for a hike for our first date. Hey, let's go to a go-kart place, a mini golf.
Yeah.
Like
all
I just
totally traditional dates.
Yep, movies.
Yeah.
Like out to lunch or whatever. But it would have, those things I didn't do.
Do you
like,
think
when I was dating, we didn't do that stuff. We went to bars. That's what we did. So any of those other places would feel really uncomfortable to me if it wasn't a bar. But if I'm not drinking anymore, my advice would be try those things first before you go on a first date.
Oh, yeah. Find something that you're comfortable with in the same way that so that you go into anything confidently.
Yes. So you're not like trying something brand new
in the same
on
way
a
that
first
you,
date.
In the same way that you would prepare if you were going to the bar, you would know going in, hey, I'm going to have that beer. I'm going to have that non-alcoholic, whatever. In the same way that you were preparing for that, you would want to make sure that if you were doing something outside your comfort zone.
Yes.
That you're confident in doing that.
Yeah.
If you've never mini golf before, that's going to be just as terrifying right. as trying to explain to somebody that
and you
don't drink
have
liquor.
The social lubricant
right.
to help you through right. that.
So make sure that you know that you like coffee.
Whatever you're going to do, make sure you're okay with it first. Number four. Have your why.
Have you numbered any of them yet?
No. Number four, have your why I don't drink elevator pitch ready to go.
We love a good elevator pitch.
We do.
We do.
I don't know how much I agree with this.
That sounds right.
It does. Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Yeah, but I love a good elevator pitch.
Do you feel like somebody has to answer that on the first date?
I don't think those are the same thing.
I think
having a good elevator pitch is super important because that makes you confident.
Yeah.
Knowing exactly what you're going to say, the why, the who, the how. I think that is super important.
On a first date, do you think it's appropriate?
I don't know that it's required.
Do you think it's appropriate for somebody to ask the other person why they don't drink on the first date?
Appropriate or not? I think it happens. And it may be as innocent as, right,
but we might be talking to people out here that are like, oh, well, if I date somebody that doesn't drink, what should I do? Should I ask him? Should I not ask him? We basically tout all over the place. Like, don't. It's none of your fucking business.
It's none of your fucking business.
Is it appropriate to ask someone?
And no, the answer to that is always no. It's none of your fucking business if somebody drinks or not.
Right.
Period. Period.
That's what we're trying to get to.
Right. But that being said, if you are the person on the date that doesn't drink and you offer up, you know, oh, I ordered this, I don't drink.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
If you offer that up, if somebody follows that up with, or like how long, or since when, or that's interesting.
I love that answer for so many reasons. That's interesting. It means so much.
It means so much. You actually hate that.
Yeah. I mean, I love to say it.
Yeah, but it's so fucking loaded.
I know it is.
Anyway.
It's not meant to be, but it is.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's cute. No, seriously, though, I think that if you kind of open that door a little bit, you probably should be confident in what you say after
that. Yeah. No,
be prepared to talk about it. If you yourself open that door, yeah, be prepared.
But and also, you're right. Somebody might open it anyway.
Somebody might open it anyway, and you should probably have some sort of idea of what you would say.
This article, I'm not totally in agreement with this, especially if it's early days between the two of you. Keep the reasons for your sobriety brief. All you need to say if she asks about your choice to be sober is something short like, I realized I get a lot more done when I don't drink. Okay.
Okay.
I actually get way less done. or I lost a ton of weight a few years back and not drinking helps me maintain my willpower and keep it off.
What?
What?
I mean, I understood that those were words. What?
Well, I mean, if those two things are actually your reasons, you could use them, but that elevator pitch seems wordy to me. Anyway, you do you, boo, I guess.
You do you, boo.
The answer is you do you, but also it is great to have an elevator pitch.
Yes.
And just, you know, it might take you a while. Might take you a while to get there. We've talked about this a little bit. Like, there's lots of answers to that question, like why you don't drink or why you're not drinking tonight or whatever. There's some ways to shut it down if you feel like being a real dick. Hit me up in my DMs if you want those responses, because I have some.
Let me add them.
So you can find me on Max and Cox.
DM me. See what happens.
I dare you. I dare you if you want.
Fucking come. Do it. I don't know. Just be cool.
Just fucking be cool.
I feel like that's the answer to so many things, and we say it a lot, but just like, be fucking cool, man.
Yeah.
You do you, boo.
I think we should just stick to the...
I think that's the best advice we can give people.
Yeah. Find a place. Be prepared to drink whatever you are going to drink. If they have a beer that you can have or that you want to have, if you know you're going to go in for a club soda and lime, ask for it in a pint glass. If you know you're going to try to see if they have any mocktails, try to like look at a menu ahead of time. If you're in the Madison area, we've got a bunch of places on our website that you can go, and we have menus posted and places that have a lot of menus or a lot of mocktails and non-alcoholic options. But also there are websites all over the place for restaurants, and they usually have their menu on the website.
Totally. And more than that, do your best, your very, very best, to be as confident in you as you can.
Yeah. And the more you know about yourself and your story and why you're doing it, there's nothing wrong with your reason.
You don't even have to have a reason.
Right.
That's the beauty of not drinking.
You don't have to share a reason.
It's nobody's business.
It's nobody's business. Not even Bridget and mine.
Not even ours. I mean, a lot of things are our business.
If you're going to ask us on your date.
Oh, then yeah. And do.
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 We would love to come.
We'd love to come. We're a great date. Just ask us. But I do think that it it makes it a lot easier if you are confident in you, which is super hard.
Yeah.
That is an extraordinarily heavy lift. But if you kind of practice at least a little bit in your head, mm-hmm. you know, your whys or how you would explain it or a little bit of an elevator pitch if it comes up. But if you're not prepared to do that, then I would be very confident in my choice of location.
Yes.
So do your best with confidence.
Do your best with confidence. Do your very, very best with confidence. And then otherwise find a good place. Here's the thing though. It's this can be hard. Like even though we're not dating, I can recognize that that part is pretty hard, especially if you're new to it, especially if you're not quite sure if like you're just taking a break for a little bit or you're going to take a break for a while or whatever. Like sometimes you just don't know where you're at and that's mm-hmm. okay. I think we both can recognize that it's a difficult place to be. Dating is hard enough right now, I think.
I think dating is hard, period, yeah, right?
Yeah, dating is hard, period. But
new
if people, you are
new also, things.
Yeah. So people-y here.
So people-y.
If you're trying to work on yourself or your whatever the reason is, whatever your reason is, it shouldn't really matter to that other person, but it might. And so we recognize that that can be really difficult and there is no right answer. Should I tell somebody on the first date? Should I not tell them? Should I check it on my Bumblebee? Should I, you know, whatever it is. And
you're so hip.
If somebody turns you down because of that one check mark or whatever, try not to read too much into it.
Yeah.
That's easier said than done also, but it probably says way more about them than it does you.
Totally does. And that's okay.
Yeah. That's all we got for our Valentine's Day dating.
Yeah. Should we bust open some drinks then?
Because we're supposed to do that at the beginning.
Can we celebrate?
We're going to celebrate. Yeah. We're going to celebrate with some drinks.
Celebrate, you know, giving you guys great dating advice from people not currently dating. So today's drink of choice, and as Katie prefers, it is, of course, warm.
I took the fridge out of my office when I quit drinking.
Lord knows we would not want to have anything cool and delicious. Anyway, we are trying
this is Jeng. Jeng's our friend. This is hemp-infused alcohol-free sparkling cocktail, a Jeng and tonic, juniper, and lime.
That sounds so lovely.
I know, doesn't it? It contains 11 milligrams of CBD, no alcohol, 70 calories per serving.
Can you tell them about that can feel?
The can feel is a rubber. You can rub this can. It's pretty nice. It's actually a really nice feel. Okay, so Jeng and tonic. Ooh, it smells good. It smells very junipery. Oh, that's good. Oh, and it's hemp infused, so. Oh, my God. Oh, I kind of like that. It's got kind of a fun little zinger aftertaste.
That's so good.
It's really good.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
We have tried such really awful stuff.
Right. Today. And again, we are not quite to the point where we want to throw some companies under the bus.
No, but
and the reason for that is because everybody's trying hard to break into the non-alcoholic industry.
And not everybody can.
And we don't, not everybody can, but we don't want to deter anybody. I mean, I don't think we have that much influence yet. But we also don't want to deter anybody from trying. So we don't want to like push people away. So we're really only trying to
highlight the stuff that is good that we would actually want you to have.
So this is Jeng, J-E-N-G.
I like that. I am irrationally excited for summer, which is months away, because we have so many fun things to drink.
Yeah, we do. This is good. I like this.
That'd be a good patio drink.
It would be so much better if it were cold.
Most things are, Katie. Most things are.
Mm-hmm.
Most things are.
Jeng and tonic. We like it.
Hey, Mikey.
Hey, Mikey. That is really good. And we have to, they have a Paloma too.
They do. We had another one of theirs, and
I can't remember. It was green, wasn't it?
It was green, which means we put it somewhere.
Well, no, we had it.
Oh.
We had it the first day it came in.
Oh. It was, they were pretty.
They were pretty and they were good. But we haven't tried the Palomi yet. We're going to try that next time. We do have two cases of stuff that we are going to not drink anymore. Born in Brooklyn, available everywhere. Okay. Manufactured by Jeng, by Proper Beverage, Hudsonville, Michigan.
Sip Jeng. I'm sorry. Sipjeng.com.
Sip Jeng. J-E-N-G.
So the first one we had was a Moscow Mule.
Oh, yeah. And that was really good. That was really good. And they're all hemp infused, right?
They're all hemp infused, which we actually really like. And that's not for everybody. We understand that. But we do like that.
The cans. Got a nice feel.
It's got a good can feel. I think this would also be a good drink for your Valentine's Day date.
It would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a good Valentine's Day for us. We have done a lot in the Mox and Cox camp today. Yeah. We've done a lot in the Mox and Cox camp in the last few days. It's been kind of, I don't know what the word I would use, but it's been a transformative few days.
Yeah. The last 10 days for me have kind of been weird. I don't know why. So I saw this quote yesterday after I had kind of a rough day. And it said, things get harder just before you level up. Remember that. And it hit me in all the feels. I was like, oh shit, we might be hitting. We've got some exciting stuff.
We've had a busy, full, enduring few days. Possibly last 10. I don't know. Could be last 30. No, but I mean, it has been a lot in the last few days, but we're pretty excited about where we're going.
Yeah.
We have come out of stuff super jazzed, or what was the word you used this morning?
Jacked.
Beaming.
Oh, beaming.
Right?
Oh, no, you sent me the beaming emoji, and I was like, I didn't know that was beaming.
But then we were like, oh, but it's super appropriate.
It is.
Like, we're excited. It takes a lot of work.
Yeah. We've got a lot of stuff in the pipeline.
We do.
We actually sat down on Saturday morning and wrote a list out of all the things that we are currently doing, which took up 2 pages.
And wasn't even a quarter of what we're doing.
And all the things that we want to do regarding this, regarding basically mocktails and cocktails. And just sort of this, like, we want to get on this train of non-alcoholic movement, basically. Yeah. And we're just throwing a whole lot of stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks and what you guys like and what people are into and not into. And we're going to make mistakes. And that's the best part.
We're definitely human.
We are. Just ask us. But I think in any new business, in any new venture, and in all the stuff that you put yourself out there for, right? Like, when you're vulnerable, can be scary.
Because we're still human.
Because we're still human. But we have arguably talked about a lot of stuff that
is super uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, it gets more comfortable for both of us, I think, like, the longer we do this. And
it's
the
lot easier than we ever probably thought it would be.
Yeah. But nobody, and that's a stretch, because there are people that are, but not very many people talk about drinking just in general, like, not in everyday conversation. And then to, like, put it out to the public and to family and friends that hear it, it's kind of a big deal. And then, you know, to, like, talk about the other stuff, right? Like, weight loss, that's also something that's not super comfortable for people to talk about. Like, you are walking around in your body, and you know, when you talk about it, it sort of feels like you're putting a spotlight on it, when really you can't hide it. I mean, that's how I sort of feel about it. But some of the things that we talk about, we're putting ourselves out there for scrutiny. And a little bit we talked about, well, we've talked about this off mic, but I think it's probably worth talking about on mic, that we don't want to censor ourselves.
Right.
We don't want to get in the habit of cutting stuff that we say. I mean, sometimes. We had to cut some ums and some fucks and some laughing, like we just smoked back cigarettes.
Yeah, we get into fits like that. That, you know, there's general
and
editing.
And that's why we edit.
But there's general editing, but we never want to get into the habit of censoring.
Right.
And we've had very lengthy conversations about that because not everything we say is going to resonate with everybody.
Yeah. And in this audience, we don't know who we're talking to sometimes. And that's really hard.
And I think it changes
all the time, especially in this sort of...
Something hits and something doesn't, and something hits the next week and something doesn't.
Right. And some people drink for a little while and then they don't. And then they do again and then they don't. So I think that while we don't necessarily always talk about alcohol, right? Or not non-alcohol, that's sort of the underlying reason that we're here. It just encompasses so much more than that, that we try to hit all of the social marks and things that we think resonate with people. They might not all the time, and some things might offend people and some things might not. But what we're trying to do is keep our personalities intact. While also to be a little entertaining about an uncomfortable conversation.
Everything we talk about has the very real possibility of being uncomfortable or awkward.
And offensive.
And we try not to be offensive. But I do think that at the end of the day, we're still just two people.
Yeah.
And while we are putting ourselves out there for all of that, bear in mind that we're still people.
Yeah.
We haven't even had any trolls yet.
We haven't even. I can't wait.
You say that a lot, actually.
I know. Well, which is weird because I'm like the most sensitive person on earth. So the first
you aren't
troll
gonna
that's
handle them well. So I don't
the
know
first
why.
Troll that's
I don't
out
know
there
why
is.
You're like, yeah, bring it on, come at me. And I was like, please don't though.
Like, well, it's only because I know you'll come to my rescue.
100%. Every time.
So I just want them.
You just
want to
see it. You just want me to prove
just
it.
See it.
Just want to see. Go fight for me.
I just want to see what happens.
See what happens.
That took a little serious turn there. But yeah, I mean, you know, sounds right.
Get on or get hit.
That's right. We just want to make sure that we
recognize that not every episode is for everybody.
Yeah. It's definitely for Bridget and I.
Yeah, I mean, every one of these is for us. We love the shit out of this. But we fully recognize that not every moment of every single one of these is going to hit everybody.
And we don't have the monopoly on these opinions, right? Like, there's so many opinions out there about this. And I think our advice is to be you and figure out there's so many articles and schools of thought and options and conversations and opinions and advice and all of that stuff. Like, sift through it.
If you have questions or you have different opinions than ours, reach out to us.
Yes.
Let us know.
Somebody, this was a great suggestion. Somebody we know that listens religiously takes notes.
Oh.
I know. It's so cute. Oh, she takes notes and sometimes she has questions.
I love that.
And she sent us a DM that said, if you guys could make a place on your website for questions about your podcast.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It is a great idea. So there is a page on our website. It's called Contact Us.
That's super original.
I know.
How did you come up with it?
I know. There's a form on the website that will go right to our email and we will answer your question. But one of her other suggestions was like an FAQ, like a thread of questions.
Sure.
That might be all hers. But like a thread of questions that
That's
other
a
people
great idea.
Might have. So we might just make a little thread.
That's
and copy
a great
it.
Idea.
Yeah. So if you have questions about the podcast or something one of us said that you're like, oh, God, I'd like to hear more about.
Yeah. Or if you, you'd like us to clarify anything. Yeah. Or you want to argue about anything, we're here for it.
Yeah, we're here for it.
Yeah.
We're going to have some guests.
Yes.
Soon.
Yes.
We've got two lined up.
Very excited.
Yes. We love all the follows and the likes and the hearts and the everything. All of it.
Yes. We love all the people that interact. And thank you all for taking the time.
Yeah.
And coming on this journey with us.
It's been a real roller coaster.
It has been. And it will only keep getting loopier.
I was going to say, do you hesitate to say better?
I don't. It's a
loopier.
It's a wild ride, and we're all on it.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.